our chorus books for Sunday school this morning. Let's turn to number 56. 56 in the chorus book.
Save those animals, save those animals.
those who came out this morning, or those who aren't able to be here, who aren't feeling well, or have other things they must do, pray that you'd draw them closer to yourself this morning. And we pray that you would bless our time together, and thank you for bringing Brother Jeffcoat and this young fellow with him safely to us. And I pray that you would give them continued safety as they travel around. And I pray that you give him the words that you have him say to us, and give encouragement to each person here. And we pray that you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right. Don't have any special announcements right now. So let's get back to singing number 98. The windows of heaven are open.
Good news, Christ is for me.
two birthdays listed in our calendar for this week, but neither one of them are here this morning. So I'll just mention their names and we'll pray for them, and hopefully we'll see them again soon.
There's
yes.
Actually three, there's one today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who did I miss?
Craig Halley.
The other two are Jane and then Chris Pope. So neither of them are here this morning, but we definitely want to say happy birthday to Brother Craig. I'm sorry I missed you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Well, we have two younger people at the classes this morning, so they can be dismissed now. While they're going, let's take a bow and turn to Colossians chapter 3. That's where our memory passage has been that you're learning. We are moving on to verse 3 today, but we will take just a moment. If anyone learned the first two verses and would like to say them for us. Okay, March.
Colossians 3, 1 and 2. So we do it.
You can add verse 3 if you know it already. That's great.
No, I didn't.
That's fine. Just verse 1 and 2 is fine.
If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
All right. Good. Anyone else? Okay. Like I was saying, we're going to add verse 3 to it today, which says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." That tells us that when we are saved, that means our flesh should have died on the cross, just like the Lord Jesus did. And just like the example of baptism gives us, we are raised to walk in newness of life. And Galatians 2 verse 20 tells us, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." But it goes on to say that it is Christ that lives in me. And that's what this verse is talking about here. All right, Colossians 3, 1 through 3, let's say it together. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." All right. Jeff Coop, turn it over to you now.
Well, it's a joy to be here. Somebody said it's been
quite a while, and I confess to them, time goes by so very quickly. I said to them, I said, "You just never know who's going to show up around here." A brother said to me, they said, "And we locked the door too." I said, "Then when I showed up, you were wondering who gave me a key, right?" This is a wonderful place to be and a wonderful privilege for me every time I have the opportunity. As you remember, it was my joy to be with Brother Freeman just before he went home. I had the privilege of being with him there at his bedside, and then to be with you just right before he went home. Last Sunday, I was with Brother Mitchell in Gettysburg. And Brother Mitchell reminded me that he preached Brother Freeman's funeral service. And I thought that was quite the delight that I was with him last Sunday and then I would be with you here today. I'm with Brother Mitchell. every Sunday that's the closest to July the 4th. Pretty good place to spend July 4th in Gettysburg. And some people, they wonder to themselves, what does Gettysburg have to do with July 4th? And they forget when the battle was fought, which was July the 3rd. But anyway, thank you so much for the honor to be here. I'm introducing myself to some folks that I met just today. My name is William Jeffcoat. I've had the privilege of laboring, I think, in one of the most incredible lands on the face of the earth, the country of India. If you can imagine a country of over 1.3 billion people that will surpass China in just a few short years. So that very soon we'll be speaking of India as being the most populated land on the face of the earth. And yet, it's only one-third the size of the United States. I've had the privilege for 23 years. In fact, and that's counting 1998, but I was talking to someone, and my good friend who's with us today, Jonathan Penipe, I said, I started coming to India in 1998. He said, that was the year I was born. So that was a good year. And it's been an honor to labor with some of the greatest leaders there in the country, and then to have the privilege of literally having thousands not only sit in the conferences where I've preached, but it's no exaggeration to say thousands that have sat in my classrooms through the years. And as long as we've been training laborers in India, we've been training those who came down from Myanmar, Burma, who came to the colleges in South India, prepared themselves, went back to their own country. Last year I was there in Burma, having made several trips there now, but our priority has been laboring with the leadership there in India, with some of the strong, independent, fundamental Baptist colleges and ministries there in that land. One of my good friends who labors in the state of Andhra Pradesh, he is in a city called Kakinada, which is on the coast. Dear friend of mine that I've labored with for years. I guess maybe I've known your dad for about 15 years now, I guess. Close to that, I don't know. But I've stayed in his home. We have traveled together, especially throughout the of Andhra Pradesh to Vijayawada, and then across into what is now Telangana, to Hyderabad and Visakhapatnam, and so many other cities besides. In fact, we were just a few months ago together in a pastor's conference where I was preaching there in the state of Andhra Pradesh. But Brother Matthew Henry, now I tell people that's not the one who wrote the commentary called Matthew Henry Commentary, but his father must have surely liked that commentary. I confess to you, I've tried to get preachers to let me take their commentary over to India to be signed by Matthew Henry. And nobody's accepted my offer yet. But Brother Matthew Henry in Kakinada, he oversees a network of churches, over 160 churches in this fellowship. The strongest local churches that I have seen in India are in that fellowship in the state of Andhra Pradesh. And I've been with many churches, with many colleges there in the country of India, but they are so strong because they put an emphasis on the local church. Now, some years ago, when I wrote the book, Tales from India, Truths from Heaven, and I took the stories from the culture and the history of India, and the sword of the Lord was kind to publish that for me. I remember when Brother Shelton Smith, he said to me, he said, "Now, William," he said, "I don't know how many of these you want to ship to India." And I told him, I said, "Well, if you'll let me, I can do in India what we can't do here." Brother Smith said, well, I have no problem with that. So they allowed me to keep the print rights in India. Now, what that means is that we've been able to print that book in one language after the other. We just finished the Hindi language, but now 8 languages in India, one language there in the country of Myanmar. Brother Henry, Matthew Henry, the father of Jonathan Penipe, who's with me, he has overseen most of the publication efforts of that book in India, and many have translated, but he has, as a friend, he doesn't work under our ministry, he has his own Bible college and churches and a strong fellowship. He has his own ministry, but as friends, we have partnered together. Jonathan is a student at Heartland Baptist College in Oklahoma. That college was established by a wonderful preacher named Sam Davison. That college is one of the colleges here in America that I'd still recommend for preachers. I didn't attend that college. I went to another. It is a good school. And it is so important, so critical, such a dire need in this day that there be strong leaders in India, men who are good preachers and sound in doctrine. Doctrinal error is spreading rampant. The charismatic movement and hyper-Calvinism, so many threats to the work of God showing itself there in the country of India. And I'm glad for men like Jonathan, who's preparing themselves. He'll be going to his own country again before long. And soon you'll be hearing of a young man named Jonathan Penipe doing a great work in the land of India. But I'm going to ask Jonathan to come now at this time and share for a few minutes from his heart. So, Brother Penipe, you come at this time. Are you sure you want to hear this?
Well, I'm Jonathan Penipe, and my dad is Matthew Henry, as Brother Jeff Cott has already told, and he's been laboring and ministering in India for almost 30 years now. And it was a blessing to be born into a Christian missionary family, which I didn't really realize until I came here. But when I thought I was saved when I was 12 years old. And after that, whenever someone talks about salvation, it really makes me uncomfortable. But I was like, okay, I was saved. I even got baptized after that. So a few years back, my dad invited me to go to a missions conference in Thailand, Bangkok. And I went with him there. And over there, God convicted my heart that I'm not saved. But again, I just pushed him aside saying, no, I might have been saved. I even got baptized, you know. And after I came back from there, God opened a door for me to come to Heartland Baptist Bible College in Oklahoma City. And I'm a junior right now, pastoral major. And so when I came here to Heartland, God started really convicting my heart that, you know, I was not saved and I need to get that settled right away. But I did not listen to him again. And like the lost prodigal son, even though I'm saved, even though I was born in a Christian family, even though I came to Baptist Bible College, I was not saved. But God did not leave me. And I kept on rejecting him for almost 2 years. But I'm glad that he did not let me go away. And finally, this year, the February, I was like, you know what? I just can't go on like this. I need to get this settled. So I got on my knees and asked God to save me, and I'm glad he did. And after that, in Romans 10, I think verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whenever I read that verse, it gave me peace, which I never really had for almost maybe 10 years now. And I'm glad that God is faithful enough that he still saves people, even though I kept on rejecting him for so long. And after that verse, in verse 14, it says, you know, basically, I'm paraphrasing, how will the people of the world listen to this gospel if there are, if there is no one that takes it to them? And so that was like God confirming my call to, you know, preach and go to missions field. And so that is how I got saved. And I always knew from when I was a kid that, you know, this is what I need to be doing. Like Paul says that I wouldn't have peace imagining myself doing something else other than doing the work of the Lord. So I always had the confirmation of the call in my heart. And my goals when I graduate from the Bible college is to go back home and help with my dad in the small Bible college we've got, and also maybe in long term start planting churches. And my burden is to start planting churches in the major cities of India, like Bangalore, Chennai, Mumbai, because there are so many immigrants from the villages coming into these major metropolitan cities to work, so that, you know, they could take care of their families better in their villages. So I believe if we start planting churches in these major cities, the gospel would spread a little faster than going into every village and start planting churches. And I believe that is what Paul did back in the day. So that is my burden. Please pray for me while I attend college and get myself prepared to go back into the field. Also, please pray for my dad who's been ministering in India. Thank you.
I've shared about our ministry when I've been here in times past, but if I were to speak of the opportunity that we've had through the years, I would speak of the crusades where we preached, thousands gathered. Fred Schindler preached in the first crusade that we ever held there in the city of Coimbatore in the state of Tamil Nadu. I could tell you the crusades, and I could tell you the Bible colleges where we've taught. One college after another throughout the five southern states. Some of those colleges, as many as 40 languages are represented among the students. And as Brother Jonathan was speaking of going into some of these cities where people have gathered from different parts of India, every time you cross a state line, almost with few exceptions, you're changing languages. And then even within a state, there are so many, many languages. And oftentimes, whether it be at a Bible college where many have gathered together or in one of the major cities, a number of them of which Brother Jonathan spoke, we labor on a regular basis, but the opportunity is there, as it seems that people from so many different villages gather there in these metropolitan areas. Of the 100 largest unreached people groups in the world, these are people groups among whom there is no viable church of which we have knowledge. No concerted effort being made to reach them with the gospel. The word of God is not in their mother tongue. Of the 100 largest unreached people groups, now there are more than 100 unreached people groups just in the country of India, but of the 100 largest unreached people groups in the world, almost half, approximately 48, are in one country. And that one country is the land of India. You know, if you sent 48 missionaries to India, one to each of those people groups, you would have barely scratched the surface of that country, even if you sent 48 missionaries to the one land of India. So please, please pray for that country. I was there when the coronavirus started. I was wearing a mask before I got on the plane to come back to America. In fact, your dad handed me my first mask. And My daughter and her husband, they were in Chengdu, China. And so I told them, I said, look, I said, we can't pretend to know what we do not. I said, I don't know how bad this is or how bad it's going to get. You know, Americans are pretty arrogant when we think that neither persecution nor pandemic can touch us. That's the arrogance of America. I think we're being given a very gentle, gentle reminder. And by the way, I was telling someone this morning, I said, we've experienced an inconvenience. You have to go somewhere else to experience a lockdown. In India, planes weren't flying, trains weren't moving, you couldn't catch a taxi, you couldn't catch a bus. And the chief minister of the state of Telangana, where we spend a good bit of time, and until recently was a part of Andhra Pradesh, the chief minister said, if you people do not listen when we tell you the hours when you can be and not out of your home, if you do not listen, he said, I will call in the military and I will tell them to shoot at sight. We say shoot on sight. Shoot at sight. I think the message is clear to our ears, though. It may have only been rhetoric, but those are pretty strong words. My daughter and her husband, they were in China, and I urged them. I said, look, I said, I don't pretend to know how bad this is. I said, but I said, you can only respond as is the nations around you. You know, if you're in a jungle somewhere and all the animals are running in one direction, that's not the moment to stand there and wait for an explanation. If all the animals are running in one direction, you need to move in the same direction. Just get out of there. I told her, I said, I don't know how bad it is, don't know how bad it's going to be, but I do know one country after another, after another, after another, that they're evacuating their people. This is the time you need to leave. And that was back in early February. Well, before they left Chengdu, she was talking with me on the phone. She said, Dad, we just had an earthquake. Now, they were living in an apartment that was 17 floors high. That's not a good place. You know, it's not a good moment to experience birth earthquake if you're walking down the street, but if you're 17 floors up. So is the pandemic, the earthquake, I said, you need to get to America. And she said, we want to come to India and be there with you. I said, okay. I said, I'll be in the city of Bangalore and I will receive you. Well, India decided to close their doors the very day that my daughter and her husband, that they arrived. So they were confined at the airport for 2 days. I joined them at the airport, and we started our very adventurous journey back to the United States. This is early February. We were told in Bangkok that we would be there for 2 weeks. And they said, you're not going anywhere for 2 weeks. And the Lord intervened at the last moment, and we were on a plane headed for Japan. They told us in Japan, they told us in Bangkok, they said, Japan will never let you through. But soon we were on the plane headed for the U.S. and landed in Detroit, where some CDC personnel met us at the door with some other armed officials and gave us quite the welcome. And I will say, it was professional and thorough, but at least in that instance, it was not extreme, and we were able to continue. Maybe the welcome at the door was a bit much, but they were kind after that moment, and we were soon on our way. My son-in-law, because of the transition that was required, he had to fly back to China. Pray for him. He's in Chengdu, China right now, and we have been trying literally for months to get him back to the United States. And one flight after another, after another, after another has been canceled. The latest flight was going to be on July the 12th, and we just a few days ago found out that that flight is not going to happen. So please pray as we continue to make effort to get him out of there. As I said, I'm so glad to be laboring with leaders in India. You know, I can tell people, I can say, look, I can speak of preachers who've gone to India with me, and they've seen these ministries and been with these men, and I've labored with them. They've been my friends for years and years and years. They're solid. They're sound in doctrine. We're putting together an internet platform where we're providing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, internet radio on this web platform. It's thegreatesttruths.com, thegreatesttruths.com. That's the website. And so there's music that is played throughout the day. However, at certain times of the day, there is programming at this time, particularly in the Telugu language. By the way, I was thrilled to find out just recently that the Telugu language is not only one of the primary languages of India, but it is the fastest growing foreign language in America. Now that shocked me. I thought maybe Hindi, if it's not Spanish, maybe. Now it's not the largest group of foreign speakers in America, but it is the fastest growing language group, Telugu. And so we have preaching at certain times of the day in the Telugu language on this website, and we're adding other languages besides, so that we are able to direct our friends in India to good, solid preaching by nationals who are laboring in India. In India, as elsewhere, the people are being flooded by influence from all directions. And we need to be able to point to a platform, to a pulpit, and say, that voice is preaching the Word of God. And so that's some of our efforts in recent days. Please continue to pray for us. With our Bibles open to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. For the sake of time, I'll just read the verse and have short prayer and leave this thought with you. The Bible speaks of those who gathered to David with intent to make him king. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, the Bible speaks of the children of Issachar saying that they were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. How oftentimes those words have spoken to our hearts, certainly in recent days. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege. Please speak to our hearts. Please help me to be a blessing. In Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen. The Bible speaks of these that had understanding of the times. As we think of what is unfolding around us, we're reminded again and again that what we will do, we best do now. I'm not a date setter, but this southern boy can tell a setting sun when he sees one. I'm not a date setter, but the Bible does say that we can see the day approaching. Right. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Right. Can you not see it? Mm-hmm. Approaching. Now, to be clear, there's not the first prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before the trumpet sounds.
That's right.
Not the first prophecy that needs to occur before we're caught up in the clouds. But there is obviously a foreshadowing. You know, sometimes people say, Oh, wouldn't it be a joy to live in that generation when the trumpet sounds? But they conveniently forget that such a people will see the shadows begin to darken.
That's right.
And they are. In fact, even we who have taught and preached the Bible for so many years find ourselves quite surprised at how quickly it can happen. How quickly our economy can just shudder. Do you remember when 9/11 took place? You see, Wall Street operates on confidence. And when those twin towers fell in New York City, Wall Street reeled. Now we see it shudder again. Some people say, do you think it's going to be a nuclear bomb that takes out America? After all, I don't see America in prophecy. Do you think it's going to be a nuclear bomb preacher? Who knows? But I do know this. It won't take a nuclear bomb. Wall Street is reeling. When the rapture takes place, and I trust many of our leaders will be caught up with us. Not so in China. Perhaps in China, more will be raptured than here in America. I do not know. But not so much among their leaders. But when leaders in high places of our government suddenly disappear, confidence in America will be destroyed. After all, what kind of force can take so many people away suddenly? They're gone. Wall Street will not survive that moment. Even now, we see democracy. Who'd have thought that so soon we'd see mobs squaring off areas of certain cities and daring a police officer to enter? It's America. Even someone who is herself an activist, she herself, though an activist, said to one of the Muslim voices that's infiltrated our government, she said, why would you escape a place like Mogadishu and then turn our country into Mogadishu? Are we not amazed that it can happen so quickly? The Bible says that they had an understanding of the times. They didn't have as much of an understanding as you have. In fact, the prophets such as Daniel had not yet stepped forward, and Daniel didn't even understand much of his own writing.
That's right.
These men, all they knew was that David would soon be king. And I know that one day he who took delight in being known as the son of David will sit enthroned. They had an understanding of the time. In Europe, particularly Sweden, there are people that are standing in line to receive the microchip. India has the largest facial recognition database in the world. Just recently, when I was about to step on my airplane, they told us, they said, you won't need your boarding passes today. Just look at the scanner and we'll be able to tell by your facial recognition. And we just boarded the plane without them even looking at our passports. I mean, folks were right there. In Europe, they're saying that the microchip and that technology is going to sweep from country to country. But they're watching India. Why? Because when this pandemic began. Despite India's ability with the facial recognition database, it failed them. And so there are some in Europe that are watching to see how soon that India is going to start utilizing the microchip, because what they are using is just not sufficient for the multitudes. Is the pandemic real? I know too many who have been sick and a number who have died to think that it's not. Am I an alarmist? No, actually, I'm getting pretty excited because I don't think we're going to be here much longer. Amen. They're taking advantage of a moment that's very real. I know of some good independent fundamental Baptist preachers that were in ICU, one over in New Jersey. Some of you may have heard of the black preacher, wonderful preacher, Kenny Baldwin. Kenny Baldwin was in ICU, and he was in ICU for a while. I was supposed to preach for a preacher in Maryland next week. And he said, my wife's father just died of the coronavirus. And he said, it's not going to be a good time for us right now. But know this, the world is taking advantage and the platform is being set. But this is the thing. This is the thing. The Bible says they had an understanding of the times. There is Jewish tradition which says that those of the tribe of Issachar, that they predominantly, or at least they were known for being scholars in years that followed. Now, this is what's interesting. This is what is convicting. They were soldiers who had an understanding of the times, knowing what Israel must do. One day, those of Issachar were known as being scholars, but not so much known as being soldiers. Isn't it amazing how much we pretend to know when sometimes we don't? Isn't it amazing how little some can know and that's enough? Here were these of Issachar that had an understanding of the time, and they knew what Israel must do because of the little they did of what they did understand. David would soon be king. I hear some people say this, and they say that, and they say the other. I just looked at one fellow not long ago, and I said, I don't pretend to have your expertise. Aren't we so arrogant when we pretend to have it all figured out? I said, but this is what I do know. The Bible says. People forget that it took about 10 years to figure the SARS virus out. We say, well, this about the SARS virus and that about the SARS virus. Well, that was 10 years removed. All of a sudden, in a week's time, we can have something that invades our border, and everybody thinks they've got it figured out. And there's about 5 different explanations that's floating around among people. I don't have your expertise. I don't have it all figured out. Those of Issachar, they had an understanding of the time, and they knew what Israel must do. You may not have it all figured out, and that's not so necessary, but my friend, what you need to understand is this. What we will do, we must do now. By the way, the Bible says that when these gathered together around David, the scriptures tell us in verse 39 that they were with David, eating and drinking, enjoying his fellowship. They were looking forward to the day that he would be king. But let me ask you something. What's your relationship with him right now? They were enjoying his fellowship. I look forward to the day when Jesus will sit enthroned and every knee will bow. There are some knees that I can't wait to see bow in his presence. But I don't know about you. I want to have that sweet relationship with him now. That the Bible tells me that others before me had. That fellowship that the Bible tells me is available to me now. Sometimes a person will come up to me and say, did you hear about this or did you hear about that? I mean, it's nowadays that common news stories contain more information than some of the prophecy conferences that I heard when I was a little child. I feel like I'm living the prophecy conferences that I heard years and years ago. So a person says this and a person says that. What we need to understand is that how little we do understand, regardless of how much we pretend to know, the certainty of truth is found in the Word of God. And what we will do, we must do now. I saw not long ago, and it's true, some of our fighter jets were pursuing after UFOs. I saw one of the videos. Fighter pilot said, I've locked in on one. In other words, he had him in his target in the crosshairs. Now, I watched too much science fiction when I was growing up. But when he said, I got them locked in, I thought to myself, don't do that. You say, what's going on, preacher? The stage is getting set. Platform is being prepared. You say, preacher, do you honestly believe in little green men from Mars? Oh, no. But I do believe the devil is already working on his explanation to try to explain what's about to happen in the rapture. It seems to me that the devil has more anticipation than many Christians do. The platform is being set. They had an understanding of the times. One day Issachar would be known as scholars. My friend, at that moment, they were known as soldiers because they knew what they must do. If there was ever a time when we ought to encourage one another to be prayer warriors, to be soul winners, it's now. If there was ever a moment for the church to go forward with the banner of the gospel, it's now. Now, you might have perspective in what you think about what this is happening and what that is happening and the other. There might be some disagreement in your understanding there. But let there be no misunderstanding and no disagreement in this one truth. Jesus is coming again. They had an understanding of the times of what Israel must do. Dear Lord, I pray that you would have used something I said to be an encouragement. Lord, that would motivate. Lord, we don't pretend to know everything that's happening right now or that's about to happen, except for this one great event that soon, Lord, we dare to believe that soon the trumpet will sound. Help us, Lord, to show our understanding by our zeal and faithfulness for your glory. For it's in our Savior's name we pray. Amen.